Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Story about a boy and a girl, a story that's as new as New Year's Eve and as old as Adam and Eve.
L'amour, l'amour, love, love. Mrs. Greenwood, it is so wonderful, especially in Paris in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the matter with it in Brooklyn in the winter? And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
Charlotte Greenwood has as her special guest today America's first lady of radio, Miss Loreen Tuttle. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the identifying name Hallmark. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now to the little town of Lakeview, where Aunt Charlotte is raising the three Barton youngsters, little Robert and teenage Barbara and Jack. It's early New Year's Eve, and Jack and Barbara are getting ready to leave for a New Year's Eve party, and Aunt Charlotte is voicing those famous last words.
Now, you won't stay out too late, will you?
Well, I don't know about Jack, but I won't be home until 1946.
Oh, boy, this is going to be a great New Year's all over the country. I bet in New York the crowd will be pouring into Times Square all night.
And in Chicago, the crowd will be pouring into the Loop far into the morning.
And in Hollywood, it'll be pouring from morning till night.
Aunt Charlotte, I wonder if I'll fall in love this year.
Oh, love is just a game. It means absolutely nothing to me.
I scored a zero in that game myself.
Oh, gee, there's the kids. Come on, Barbara.
Have a good time, children.
Thanks, Aunt Charlotte. Goodbye.
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 Hello, ma'am.
Hello, Sylvester.
Robert got out of bed.
Robert has. Where is he?
Living room. Can't do a thing with him.
Oh, all right, Sylvester. I'll take care of it.
I thought you would. It's funny how you can handle children, Miss Greenwood. You must have come from a large family.
Sylvester, don't judge by appearances. Robert, what are you doing down here?
I want to see the New Year come in. Can't I, Aunt Charlotte?
There's nothing to see.
Now, Sylvester, maybe our eyes are getting a little tired, and younger ones can really see what we've only dreamed about.
Mm-hmm. Can I stay up, Aunt Charlotte?
Well, you snuggle here in my lap, sweetheart, and you may stay up a little while. And Sylvester.
Yeah?
Please put some wood on the fire.
That I will. That clock sure sounds home-like.
Would you like to sit by the fire with us?
Well, don't mind if I do. Mighty comfortable room, Miss Greenwood.
I thought so, Sylvester, the first time I ever saw it. That was a long time ago.
You've been here before? Before you were made executrix of the Barton estate?
Once.
Don't want to be inquisitive, but just how did you happen to be picked as executrix?
Well, Sylvester, that story goes back quite a ways.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. 25 years ago this very evening, I was in Times Square as the clocks were booming midnight, ushering in a new year, 1920. A quarter of a century ago. And yet the crowd there was just about the same as the crowd that's there tonight. People don't change. Only the names of things change. Today it's jive. Back in 1920 it was jazz. Today they're wolves and bobby soxers. Then they were sheiks and flappers. Today we talk about inflation. Then we called it the high cost of living.
Yes, that's right.
A cruel war was over. The war to end war. Men were coming home. There was to be a bright new world, a world of peace and friendliness and security. What simple little wishes in the heart of humanity, and how hard they are to secure.
That's true.
Oh, Times Square, a surging, laughing, eager crowd. Standing on the borders of a new world as 1920 was but a few seconds old. There she is!
I didn't mean to crowd you, miss.
Oh, that's all right, soldier.
Hey, ain't you Charlotte Greenwood?
That's right. Greenwood.
Hey, fellas, it's Charlotte Greenwood.
I'm sorry I bumped into you, Miss Greenwood, but this crowd, gee, I don't know how we're ever going to get out of here. Hope you have a map.
I have a map, but it's not the kind that'll ever get me anyplace.
Hey, Miss Greenwood, ain't that one of your dogs?
Sure is. That's how you're going to keep them down on the farm. Sing it, will you, Miss Greenwood?
All right, if you want to chase them back to the farm, this'll do it. How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? How you gonna keep them away from Broadway, jazzing around, hating the town? How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. They'll never want to see a rake or plow. And who the deuce can poly woo a cow? How you gonna keep them down on the farm?
The fire a bit.
You know, Sylvester?
Yeah?
It's strange. Two people out of the thousands crowding Times Square that night meet for a moment and then go their separate ways. Chances of their meeting again are what?
I don't know.
One in a million. And yet one morning in Central Park.
Miss Greenwood?
Well, hello there, soldier.
Gee, it is Miss Greenwood, isn't it? I didn't know actresses got up so early.
Well, I'm trying to qualify as one of the rising generation.
Isn't that a doubtful honor? They say the present generation is kind of wild.
Oh, there never was a time when old folks didn't view young people with alarm. 25 years from now, you youngsters of today will be saying the same thing about your children. Live here in New York?
No, ma'am. I'm from a little town in the Middle West.
Oh, not lost in the big city, are you?
No. No, I've only been back 2 weeks. It's kind of strange getting used to the war being over. I guess I'm just trying to catch up with things.
Well, maybe I can bring you up to date. The hit tune is Dardanella. Jack Dempsey defeated Jess Willard. The girls are bobbing their hair and wearing dresses practically up to their knees. Or have you noticed?
Well, sort of, from a distance. I don't know any girls in this town.
Oh, a little lonesome, eh?
Yeah, a little.
Well, we should be able to do something about that. Like to see a show this evening?
I sure would.
Righto. I'm going to give you a pass, and after the performance, come backstage, will you?
Yeah.
Okay, strike the set. And Joe, be careful with that ground cloth.
Excuse me, but could you tell me where I can find Miss Greenwood?
Charlotte Greenwood? Oh, Miss Greenwood, there's a soldier here to see you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes, sir. Looks like an out-of-towner. You suppose he wants to see the sight?
He must if he wants to see me. Well, howdy, soldier. Say, you got backstage fast.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to see what it was like.
Well, that's fine, because there's a young lady I'd like you to meet. She's, well, she isn't my sister, but if I had one, I'd want her to be just like Mary. Oh, there she is. Mary!
Gosh, you don't mean her.
Mary, I'd like to present Mr., I just realized I don't know your name. I said, I just realized I don't know your name.
Huh? Oh, name. Mary. Oh, my name. John Barton.
How do you do, Mr. Barton? I'm Mary Mitchell.
Yeah, I looked for your name on the program, Miss Mitchell. Gee, you were swell. Oh, and you were good, too, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, you mean you actually noticed me?
Oh, sure I did. At the end of the first act, you were standing up head and shoulders behind that row of chorus girls.
Standing up, young man? I was sitting down. Now, look, children, how about going out and doing the town tonight?
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Now, Mary, you take John over to the Hotel Astor, and as soon as I change, I'll join you.
Oui, Miss Greenwood téléphone and said to get you a table near the music, Miss Michelle.
Thank you, Maurice.
Ah, votre sir.
Mary, shall we just sit until Miss Greenwood gets here?
Uh-huh. John, what do you think about big towns?
Well, I can't quite get used to it. I kind of like little towns, but then I was brought up in one.
Oh, I guess they're all right. New York. Well, there's no other place in the world like it.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think New York's okay. I'd like to stay here and go to art school, only... Well, you see, my dad's all alone.
Oh.
Here I am doing nothing but talking about myself. Ah, Mary, it's a wonderful evening. And Mary, that's your song from the show they're playing. Look for the silver lining. And Mary, I wish you'd sing it just for me. And Mary, I'm crazy about it.
All right, John.
Is make it shine for you a heart full of joy and gladness, will always banish sadness and sigh. So always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
Oh, Mary, you're wonderful.
This is your table here, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, thank you, Marie. Oh, well, children, I hope I didn't keep you waiting. Did you see? Well, I want you to dance, Mary. Go right ahead and don't worry about leaving me at the table. Huh? You do dance, don't you, Mr. Barton? I said you do dance, don't you, Mr. Barton? Well, what a wonderful place this is to break in a monologue.
Oh, Charlotte. We didn't realize you were here.
No.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte, darling, will you give me an honest answer to something?
Well, I always have. They might not have been brilliant answers, but they were honest.
Well, if a person wants real success as an artist, don't you think New York is the place? There's no opportunity in a small town.
Well, I wouldn't be too sure about that. A good many people fail to recognize opportunity, whether they're in a big or small town.
Yes, I know. But an artist has to have instruction and training. Do you think I'd have gotten anywhere if you hadn't brought me to New York? If you hadn't coached me?
I don't quite understand this. Are you talking about yourself or some other artist?
Oh, well, any artist. I'm simply talking about success in abstract.
Well, personally, I found that success is more a matter of the concrete. Picking up your feet and putting them down on it. Until you finally land something.
I know, but an artist has to have inspiration and beauty. Isn't that right, Sarah? Without beauty, you'll never reach the height.
I wouldn't. Are you kidding?
Well, beauty depends on your viewpoint, doesn't it, Miss Greenwood? Even a scarecrow is beautiful. It's the way you look at it.
I looked at a scarecrow once and it flew away.
Well, I don't see why you want to lower yourself.
Well, for one thing, I could go through a doorway without bumping my head.
No, Charlotte, I mean John.
No.
Lower himself by taking the easiest way, running off pace.
Oh, I think I do understand this after all. Mr. Barton is the artist?
Oh, I'm not an artist. I only want to be one. I guess that's what I wanted all my life. Really, I don't know. There's so many other things.
Well, first, it seems to me you have to make up your mind what you really do want. Decide if you want it badly enough to work for it, and then go ahead and do it. I'd like to see Mary the happiest girl in the world. But what her happiness is, she herself is the only one who can decide. Oh, listen to that wonderful music. Decide to dance, will you? Either with Mary or with me.
Well,
Oh, I will.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You there in your dressing room, Charlotte?
Yes, come in, Mary.
Oh, Charlotte. Charlotte, he isn't going to be a small-town boy in the minute. He's going to stay here in New York and go to art school. And, Charlotte, he's out.
Well, what's it all about? Who's staying?
Why, John Barton.
Oh, is that any reason why you should be all excited?
Well, no. Don't you think I am excited?
Surely you're not interested in an artist.
Well, who says I'm interested?
Dear, can you imagine living in a cramped garret somewhere in Greenwich Village with brushes and easels scattered all over and paint getting into the baby's food?
Miss Greenwood.
Well, it seems to me I've heard you say you didn't have time for love. You wanted a career.
All right, I did say I wanted a career. And as far as John Barton goes, I don't care if I never see him again. Except, well, except. Oh, Charlotte, I'm just no good at fooling you, am I?
You haven't been fooling me or anyone else, Mary. You are interested, you are excited, you are in love. Well, go ahead. Be in love. Marry him. If that's what he's asked you to do, then have babies. I think that's a wonderful career.
Tomorrow at midnight, when the bells ring and people are calling Happy New Year to each other, the old wish will have new meaning. Because tomorrow night, Happy New Year will be more than just a hope. It will be a definite promise. A promise you can help to fulfill. For your thoughtfulness throughout the year can contribute so much to the happiness you will wish your friends as the year begins. Your thoughtfulness in remembering them with a card on days that are important to them. Your Hallmark dealer has many fine original cards for just such occasions. And it's a good idea to select a number of distinctive cards to keep on hand for birthdays, wedding days, anniversaries. Choose get-well cards for friends who are ill, and bright little cards just to say hello to someone now and then. If you forgot to remember a friend at Christmas, send a Hallmark New Year card. You'll always find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So, tomorrow night, resolve to make the new year happy for dear ones all year round. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now back to the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
It's cozy here with the fireplace. And mighty interesting story, Miss Greenwald.
Well, Sylvester, that was back in 1920. My show closed for the summer, and I didn't come back to New York until fall. As I was getting out of the elevator in the lobby of my hotel...
Mary! Mary Mitchell!
Oh, hello, Charlotte.
Well, where on earth have you been? My, I take a few weeks' holiday, and when I come back, you've completely vanished. We want you for the new show.
Well, I've been up in Connecticut.
Oh. Don't tell me on a honeymoon.
No. Well, that's all over now. John's gone home.
What are you talking about, all over, John's gone home?
I haven't seen him since last July.
But he's in love with you.
The Bartons are an important family in this. John has responsibilities, obligations. He had to go back. I belong in New York. He can be happy in a small town. I can't.
Happiness doesn't come from the outside, but from the inside. It's not in towns, it's in your heart.
Oh, Charlotte, there's no use talking about it. It's all settled now.
Well, when did John tell you he had to go back?
He didn't tell me. His father told me.
His father?
Yes. His father came to New York to see me. First, I thought he had no right to interfere. Then he made me realize that it just never would have worked. I broke the engagement.
And John agreed to that?
I didn't talk to him, Charlotte. I didn't talk to him. It was better to end it quickly. I wrote him a letter, and then I went up to Connecticut. And I never told him.
How did those two young folk meet again?
Well, our new show opened in Chicago in the latter part of October. You remember that, Sylvester?
Oh, yeah.
But it was December before I could make a trip to Lakeview. I phoned John's father, and as soon as I arrived, he agreed to see me. I was standing right outside this very living room door.
Let me go right in.
Thank you. Mr. Barton?
Yes, I'm Robert Barton.
I'm Charlotte Greenwood.
I know. I saw you in the show. It was hilarious. You actually had the rafters rocking.
I know. I always bump into those things. Thank you.
I have been considering what you said over the phone.
Yes.
After all, what happened to John last summer is something that happens to every young man. Probably a good many times before he acquires good sense. He meets a girl and imagines he's in love with her. Utter foolishness.
Did John decide that it was utter foolishness?
Well, John's barely 20 years old. At his age, how could he make decisions about anything? Miss Greenwood, I'll admit I make mistakes. But my judgment is still better than his.
So I do the deciding.
Even when your decisions might hurt someone else, hurt her dreadfully?
Oh, now. What's her name? Miss Mitchell has an exciting, glamorous life with a brilliant career ahead of her. She couldn't be interested in a small-town boy like John. It's logical. She has to put a head on her shoulders.
Mr. Barton, the heart has logic that the head knows nothing about. And that's why it's logical that I brought Mary with me.
Now, I don't care to discuss it.
Mary.
How are you, Mr. Barton?
If you have in mind some sort of a plan for causing a scene, I assure you it will do you no good.
I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want anything except to talk to John.
Why? Why bring up something that's all over? John has completely forgotten the whole matter.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Very well. John! John!
Yes, Dad?
You come downstairs. We have guests. Miss Mitchell, the danger of looking for the truth is that you sometimes find it.
If you look for the truth, Mr. Barton, you always find it because it's always here.
Why, Mary and Miss Greenwood.
Hello, John.
How are you, John?
When did you get here? How long are you going to be in town?
Oh, I have to leave for Chicago tonight.
Oh, that's tough. I've got a date tonight. Oh, we can talk a minute anyway.
Yes. Please sit down.
Oh, what a lovely old piano.
You play, Miss Greenwood?
Oh, a little. When I was 6 months old, my mother sat me on the piano stool.
And you could play?
No, but I could reach the pedals. I do know one song. My, I haven't touched the piano in a long, long time. Strange, though, how things come back to you. You think you've forgotten them? But they've gone forever. Maybe you've simply hidden them away in your heart. Hidden them so thoroughly that no one can see them. Only you know that they're there.
Will you please stop?
John!
Well, I can't help it. I can't listen to that tune. I've done what was expected of me, haven't I? I gave up art school, didn't I? I went to work in a store, but I don't have...
Will you please try to talk coherently?
I think he is talking coherently.
I prefer to handle this, Miss Greenwood.
Yes, you prefer to handle everything. You make up your mind what's right, and so it's right. What other people think and feel, that doesn't matter.
Oh, now, son.
Okay, I gave up what I wanted. You haven't fooled me. I know you must have talked to Mary in New York, and I know what you must have said.
Yes, I did talk to Miss Mitchell. I did think I was right. Or am I only selfish?
That's a good question to start with, always.
But you see, when Robert didn't come back, I lost one boy in the war, Miss Greenwood. I wanted to keep John. I didn't consider that was wanting too much.
Mr. Barton, I'll go. He belongs to you more than he belongs to me.
No. No, I can see now I was wrong. I thought he'd forgotten that he was perfectly satisfied here. I didn't know that deep down in his heart he hated me.
Oh, Dad, I don't hate you. How could I? And you were right, sort of. I should be. Oh, it's all mixed up.
Miss Mitchell should be in New York. Well, if you two kids feel the same way about each other as you did last summer, go ahead.
But I don't want to be in New York.
You don't?
You know, I had a hunch she'd decide it that way.
I only want... Oh, darling.
Mary, I guess what we both wanted was just each other.
Oh. Oh, what, Miss Greenwood?
Oh, when will it ever happen to me? Mr. Barton, there's a time when the older generation has to step aside and let the youngsters take over. For you and for me, I think that time has come.
Are you into some, Miss Greenwald?
Yes, the things we want are such simple things. Peace and security and friendliness and love. And yet how desperately hard they are to get. If we were only wiser, Sylvester. I think a prayer for us all is, oh, Lord, give us wisdom.
Hmm. That girl and boy, Mary and John, they were the children's parents?
Yes. You see, Sylvester, I didn't realize when I helped them that I was building my own happiness. I never saw the children until I was appointed executive of the Barton estate.
Happy New Year, Miss Greenwald.
What?
12 o'clock.
Oh, Happy New Year, Sylvester. Robert. Robert, darling. Robert.
Charlotte, oh, I don't want to go to bed.
All right, my darling.
Calm asleep, Miss Greenwood. Too bad. And he wanted to see the new year come in.
Oh, that's all right, Sylvester. He'll see many new years come in. Better years. Happier years. Because this time, some way, somehow, we've got to build that bright new world. The hopes and dreams and aspirations in our hearts have got to come true. This time, we mustn't fail.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, may I remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying name, Hallmark. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. Like sterling on silver, the word Hallmark is your assurance of finest quality. It tells your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, today I saw my nephew, Jack, with pad and fountain pen, writing New Year's resolutions, as we all do now and then. I asked, do you intend to keep these high resolves you write? He said, oh, sure, I write them down and keep them out of sight. I thought how often that's the case with me, and maybe you. We write our resolutions down and keep them out of view. So I thought out another plan that seems a better way. No resolutions for the year, but keep this thought each day. If you resolve with every dawn, this day was given you a priceless gift from God's own hand, and to that thought be true. If you fill every golden hour, as your heart says you should, you'll find the year will tend itself when every day is good. And now, until next Sunday at the very same time, this is Charlotte Green was saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbors, till next Sunday, I'm your friend.
So long.